This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Spark 100.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
This first story of two was performed by Dorothea Stewart.
In May 2012.
Where the theme was winning.
On your marks, get set, go! Mrs. Wallbank's voice boomed across the field. 10 little girls stood in a row. We were about age between 6 and 8. And we saw the winning tape and we shot forward. It was our primary school sports day. And it was only a little school, so we'd ceremoniously locked the door. And all of us had trotted off by bus or on foot to Coram's Fields. And there we were. And of course, because it was a public park, the teachers were scurrying about, getting everything ready. So they were shaking out the sacks for the sack race, setting up the bar for the high jump, setting out the eggs and the spoons, checking there were the right numbers. And of course, banging in those metal rod things to stretch the tape for the 200 metre dash. So there we were, getting ready, taking off our outdoor shoes, as they were called in those days, putting on our plimsolls and getting ready for our favourite races. And as we were waiting, our parents and grandparents and friends started coming in, and I spotted my mother. Hello. There she was, tall and skinny, knobbly knees like me. And she was with another, and I was thinking, who is that tall woman she's with? And then I thought, no, she's not tall. It's Kimberly's mum. Kimberly's tiny, her mum's tiny, but she had this huge bouffant blonde hair. And because she had a very little mini skirt on and very, very high heels, her legs had stretched and she looked really tall. So we waved and they all started chatting, as parents do on these occasions. And then it was time for the race. And we were lined up. And there were 9 little girls all looking at each other saying, "Where's Kimberly? Where's Kimberly?" Mr. Scott Hughes yelled. And there was a parting of some of the parents, and Kimberly handed back the little chihuahua with its diamante collar to her mother, and she turned round and she nonchalantly walked towards the line, pulling her blonde hair into a ponytail as she went, and we all goggled, because was she wearing the regulation grey pleated skirt, white shirt and plimsolls? Of course she wasn't. She was wearing a pink tracksuit and white leather shoes with coloured laces. Anyway, she took her place. On your marks, get set, go! And off we shot. And there I was. I was running. My long legs were stretching as far as I could make them. And we got to the 100 yards and I looked back and I was definitely ahead by quite a long way. 150, 180, 90... And then I could see the tape up in front of me, so I eased off because it was a 200 race. And of course, what happened? There was this panting and pummeling and crashing behind me, and this round ball of pink lycra shot past me, burst through the tape. And when my mother said to me afterwards, why did you slow down? I said, well, it was a 200-yard race. And how did she know you were allowed to burst through the tape?
This next story was told on the same night
at the Ritzy Cinema in Brixton
by Alistair Smith.
This is the last story. That's like the headline act. Which is really scary because I didn't have a plan to say anything. I came with my friend Erica, who lives in Brixton. I don't live here. Nor have I ever told a story. So. And it is certainly much more frightening when you can see the whites of people's eyes rather than the backs of their heads. And I haven't got any stories about sex, you know. I wish. Erica and I, we haven't had sex, but she's my oldest friend. We grew up on the same street in Surrey, which isn't a very sexy place. And she said, come here tonight, so I thought I would, and I shouldn't have had a couple of pints, because I wouldn't have said yes. So this is a story. It's not about sex. It's actually about my mother's death, which is not funny. But she did die. She died a few years ago. This is a sad thing. And my dad, my mum and dad have been married for 43 years. And I'm a freelance, employed person. And so I have brothers and sisters. But when this happened, it fell to me to kind of go home and to look after my father. So I went home and I kind of picked him up in the days and the weeks after this event. And I tried to keep him cheery and I tried to kind of teach him how to cook. She cooked every meal for him for kind of 40-odd years. And I should say, we're not a family of winners in any way. I mean, my dad used to drill it into us, if at first you don't succeed, lower your expectations. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. But so anyway, my dad's a physicist and my mom was a translator, and so he didn't, I'm not very scientific, but we didn't really I would try to teach him how to cook and he kind of didn't get cooking, and he would try to teach me his subject and I didn't kind of get it, so we kind of didn't really mesh quite so well. Anyway, he decides that one thing he's always wanted to do, and my mom would never let him engage in these huge projects that he wanted to do. He wants to take apart an internal combustion engine. I don't know how long I've got. I've got to keep going. So he bought a Ford Cosworth engine. I don't know if you know about engines. It's like a particular kind of engine. I don't know anything about engines, but I helped him buy one, and we picked it out of this magazine, The Auto Trader, and it came around to my house, and my mum never let him do what he wanted to do, kind of, with his engineering. So he bought this engine and he brought it around to the house and he said, son, we're gonna pull this engine apart and we're gonna clean every piece and we're gonna put it back together and it's gonna work and it's gonna be brilliant and this is gonna be like a father bonding exercise. So I said, sure, that sounds really exciting, even though I kind of wasn't into it, but I really wanted him to be happy, and this was something that clearly turned him on. So we pulled apart the engine, and it took us a week to do, and we pulled it apart, and we cleaned all of the pieces, and he told me what all the pieces did, which was, I didn't really understand. And I said, oh, that's great. And we put it all back together, and we cleaned everything really beautifully and put it all back together, and it didn't work. So he says, well, there must be a rational explanation for this. So we pulled it all apart again, and we cleaned all the pieces, and we went right through it, and we really understood it, and we got all the manuals off the internet, and we put it all back together again, and again, it didn't work. And we did it three times. We pulled the engine apart again, and we were really, this is, we have to achieve this. And I was really into it by that point. And I was like, yeah, we're really going to do this. I knew loads about pistons, and I knew about starter plugs and everything. And we put it back together, and again, it didn't work. And he was so angry, he went to Cobham, which was the village near where we grew up, and he hired a kind of small JCB, and he had it delivered to the house, and he dug a hole in our garden, and he buried the internal combustion engine in our garden. Which was a massive failure, which kind of was exactly my family's story. However, I felt as a consequence, the two of us unified over science of a kind. And that was a victory in a sense. So.
For more stories, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates, with audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.